What up? Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of As Brock's Bengals Thoughts, presented to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. My name is, of course, Chris Asbrock, and I am joined, as I have been the last couple weeks, by my co-host, Samino, Nick. My man, it is Super Bowl weekend. Man, how you doing today, buddy?
Can't be much better. We're in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Man, do you think about it? I'm
sitting here right now, and I'm watching the NFL awards, and you know the topic of conversation is the Rams and the Bengals, and you gotta love it.
Dude, it's incredible. And you know, this is our Super Bowl preview, where the 10-7 Cincinnati Bengals taking on the 12-5 Los Angeles Rams. Now, those are the records from the regular season, but you know, again, regular season records, it is what it is, because we obviously know that they've won all their games in the playoffs. Otherwise, they would not be here. But 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Sunday night from SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, California. Man, it's still hard to believe, but it's really starting to set in that, man, we're in the Super Bowl, man. And that's really starting, like I said, it's starting to set in now. And you know, it's starting to definitely feel real as you see these guys, you know, flying out there and doing their warm ups. And you were at the rally on Monday night, just really, really cool stuff that we've seen so far. And man, this is just awesome. Just plain and simple, this is just flat out awesome, man.
Oh yeah, just a great experience. I mean, being down there Monday to see, you know, the team head off and be down there with all the fans, and just because the city deserves us so much. But it's been a great experience. It's awesome just going everywhere, seeing everyone supporting the Bengals and just wanting so much from this team. And it's such an awesome, awesome time for the Bengals right now.
It is, man. This is again, what a time to be alive. I mean, we're both old enough to we remember at least one of the Super Bowl games. Obviously, we remember the unfortunate loss to the San Francisco 49ers in 89. But, you know, waiting 30-plus years, you know, to now, man, it's, you know, this is just so cool. But, you know, I made the mistake because I'm an idiot. I'm going to say it right now, I'm an idiot. I watched a clip online of Nick Wright completely saying the Bengals aren't good. So I don't even know why we're doing this podcast, because the Bengals don't have a chance. What do you think, man? I mean, Nick Wright
someone who works from home, and you know, listening to all day, whether it be Boomer and Gio, obviously out of New York City, and then listen to all the broadcasts today out of Los Angeles. The one that I was really interested in today is I listened to DJ Moore, a wide receiver from the Carolina, and he made up some really good points. He's like, you know, the Bengals just, once again, he said the same thing that most of the national media says, that the Bengals are young and they don't know no better. And that they're freaks. They want to go out there. They want to win. And they just have no second memory. And he's like, you know what? I like the Bengals. And I mean, he's one of the very first guests they had today that was like, all right, you know, the Bengals are going to win. So I'm excited. It's going to be interesting. But yeah, you're right. Most of the national media saying, you know, the Rams are going to win this game.
And here's the thing, and I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly, and it has nothing to do with being bitter and everything like that. I don't care, because, well, let's be real. Hell, we've dealt with that all the way through, that this team has had no chance. But let's be real. The Rams are a good football team. You don't make it to the Super Bowl if you suck. Now, according to some of the clowns that I've seen in the national media, basically saying the Bengals aren't a good football team, you're out of your mind. If you're not a good football team, you're not in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It's not happening. You are a good football team to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. It's not a fluke that you beat the Raiders. It's not a fluke that you went on the road and beat the number one seed Tennessee Titans. And it sure as hell isn't a fluke to come back from 18 on the road at Arrowhead Stadium to beat the Chiefs. Those aren't flukes. Yeah, twice. We beat them. Obviously, you know, here in Cincinnati, and then we go on the road in the AFC Championship, beat them. That's what baffles me about this. But again, I'm fine with people saying that the Bengals, you know, for people saying that the Rams are going to win. I get it. I understand that. That has nothing to do with it. But it's the ones that frustrate me are the ones that saying that the Bengals aren't a good team and have no shot. Because the majority of the people I'm seeing are saying that they are, you know, the Bengals are a good team, but they think the Rams are a little more. Hot damn, I'm perfectly fine with that. And I get it. It is what it is. I completely understand. You know, no hard feelings on that one. But to come out and say that the Bengals aren't a good football team, you lose all credibility in anything that you are talking about. Because, again, this is just not – I mean, that's simply not the case in this situation. The Cincinnati Bengals are a good football team. They've proven that. Sometimes you have to have a little luck bounce your way. It happens. It is what it is. So
absolutely. I mean, it you know, I mean, every team gets lucky. Heck, even the Rams were lucky to be, I mean, yeah, they got a huge lead on the Buccaneers, but the Buccaneers came back in that game. And if it wasn't for just a blown coverage on Cooper Kupp, you know, Tampa wins that game. And I mean,
exactly.
So you have to have things go your way. It's the playoffs. You know what I mean? You have to have things go your way. I mean, we played Kansas City. We're down 21-3. And I mean, things aren't looking good. It's like, all right, here it goes again, you know. But I mean, it's like, you know, this team just doesn't give up. I mean, Joe Burrow just doesn't. He's such a cool, calm customer. And it's just like, he's under control at all times. And no matter what the situation is, what the score is, we're there, and he feels like we're in the game. And the good thing is our whole team feeds off that. So I mean the national media can think what they want, and obviously, like you said, I mean, I've heard it all day, because like I said, I've been listening to the reports, I listen to, you know, NFL radio, I listen to New York radio, I listen to a lot of different stations that's going on at all times. And yeah, I mean, most people don't give this team a chance. They're like, oh, the Bengals don't deserve it. They fell into this place, you know. Kansas City fell apart. Oh, Tennessee wasn't that good to begin with. The Raiders shouldn't have been there, you know, because, you know, if it wasn't for Indianapolis falling apart, they the Raiders wouldn't have been there. Well, we're all there for a reason. You know what? The Colts weren't there. You know what? They fell apart. Hey, so what? You know, they fell apart. You know, Tennessee was the number one seed. They did their job. I mean, the Bengals beat Kansas City. Kansas City couldn't get ahead of them. Tennessee got that first round bye. The Bengals deserve to be there. I mean, they beat everybody who came in front of them, and we're here now, and we deserve it just as much as anybody else.
Exactly. And people are going to continue. And what drives me nuts is, you know, and again, I'm an absolute moron for watching that clip, because I literally, like, I'm ready to challenge Nick Wright to a fight at Barstool Rough and Rowdy. Like, I'm so sick and tired of that dude. I'm ready to fight him. I'm ready to throw my hockey skills into good use here. I mean, and just straight throw down with the clown. But so again, I watched that before. Again, and me being a moron, I did that. Now I'm all fired up. But it's, you know, and what drives me nuts is it's that narrative. Oh, they gave up 9 sacks against Tennessee. We did. We won. You know, oh, they lost to the Jets. So did the Titans. Do they suck? Yep. They were the number one team in the AFC. Do they suck? I think not. We lost to the Bears. Okay, whoop-de-doo. It happens. Good teams lose games in the NFL. The NFL is a league that anything can happen week to week. I don't know how many times we've said that so far this year.
Yep.
And that's what drives me nuts, is people look at the past to determine what is going to happen with the Bengals this year. And it's simply not the case. So you mean to tell me why didn't they give us any credit for beating Kansas City back in week 17? God forbid that happens, but they're going to continue to not give us any credit for any of those wins. But they'll do it with the losses, though, and that makes no sense. So that's part of it. I mean, I don't understand, you know, that mentality.
What have you and I both said in past years? The national media does not want the Bengals to be good. Just because we're a small market team, we're not appealing to the major markets and stuff like that. We don't make a lot of money for the NFL, because obviously we, you know, our fan base and stuff like that. But I mean, if you look at the maps right now, most of America is rooting for the Bengals to win this game. I mean, they are. And I mean, if you, everywhere you look now, I mean, you show the news and they show people everywhere. There's people wearing Joe Burrow jerseys in Boston. There's people wearing Joe Burrow jerseys in Maryland, in Florida, all over. He's changing the dynamic of this team. And I mean, and I think that bothers a lot of national media. I think it really does. Is that they know for a fact now that we're here and we're here to stay. And that bothers a lot of people, just because, and that's why Nick Wright's so upset right now. Nick Wright knows. I mean, just like they were talking on ESPN today, that If the Bengals were to win this game against the Rams on Sunday, which, you know, hey, if, there's a good chance we do, because let's be honest here, our teams are very well matched. Our offensive line, yes, is not great. Let's be honest. We will focus on that in the offseason. I mean, every mock draft has us picking an offensive lineman. We're going to spend the money on the offensive line. Everyone knows that. But other than that, I mean, let's be honest. Their offensive line is not great. People don't realize. Andrew Whitworth is 40 years old, and I mean, he's a phenomenal offensive lineman. But I mean, he's going to be going up against a guy who's half his age.
He's been an absolute freak.
Trey Henderson is a beast.
Season.
And I mean, the Bengals are going to be smart. They're not going to put Trey up against Andrew every single time, because Andrew Whitworth is an all pro. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players of all time at his position. And so we're not going to put him there at all times. We're going to rotate things. We'll move him inside. We'll stunt. We'll do stuff like that. And we're going to make our moves to make sure this happen. And I mean, one thing about the Rams, people that don't realize about the Rams is that the Bengals were the number one team in the NFL this year with yards after contact, which is a huge thing. Which team in the NFL has given up the most yards to wide receivers, yards after contact? The Rams. So it's like, it's a perfect storm. I mean, the Bengals are going to throw the passes. We're going to show them. We have wide receivers that break tackles like nothing. Ja'Marr Chase is a beast after the catch, especially after contact. And so is Tyler Boyd. I mean, not so much T. Higgins, because he normally catches it down the field. He catches it and he normally falls to the ground, which is fine because they're normally deep passes. But I mean, we're very, very well matched against this team. Our offenses are identical because, let's be honest here, Zach Taylor worked for Sean McVay. So exactly. He got a lot of his stuff from him. We're very well matched. Yes, everyone looks at the Rams, and what do they see? It's like when you walk out of a car lot, you see that brand new Ferrari, that brand new Porsche. Man, it looks really nice. Man, it's brand name. It's amazing. We may not have the brand name guys. We don't have the Von Millers. I mean, we have a few guys, but we don't have Von Miller. We don't have Aaron Donald. We don't have Jalen Ramsey. We don't have Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, we have guys like Trey Hendrickson, who's not a household name. I mean, he could walk into a bar in Miami and most people wouldn't know who he was.
Bingo.
And I mean, so that's what people don't like. People, they say, they instantly see the Rams and like, oh, the Rams, they got all these guys. I mean, they're a team, you know, they're built, you know. But let's be honest here. The last time a team did this where they brought all big name players in, do you remember what team that was? Can you recall? There was a team that did this, the same exact thing, where they brought in all the brand name players. Do you remember who it was?
I'm going to go with Cleveland. But
Cleveland did it, but you know, also years before that too, before they won the Super Bowl, the Eagles tried this as well too. Remember they brought in Michael Vick and they brought in all those guys that year?
Yeah.
They brought in T.O. What happened in the Super Bowl that year? They lost. Just because you have some of the best players in the world, and T.O., let's be honest, T.O. is one of the best receivers of all time. Absolutely. Michael Vick's one of the best running quarterbacks of all time. Absolutely. And they had a lot of other guys on that team that were massive big names. Just because you have big name players does not guarantee big team results. I mean, if Matthew Stafford was as good as everybody thinks he is, why'd he never win a playoff game with Detroit? And I'm not saying Detroit was a bad team, but so were we. We were a bad team at one point. And I mean, he couldn't get over the hump. I mean, and he had one of the best receivers of all time. He had Megatron. I mean, and let's be honest here, is Megatron better than any receiver that's on the Rams right now? Absolutely. Is he better than every receiver that's on the Bengals right now? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he still couldn't get over the hump.
I'm going to cut you off there because I am going to disagree with you, though, because they only had two players and that was it. The rest of that team sucked. So, you know, you can't expect two players to carry an entire organization.
We have one player. We have one player carrying an entire organization.
But here's the thing, and we're not going to make this a bash LA session.
No, I'm not bashing. I think LA is really good. I really do.
Oh, I was going to say, and we've talked about it right from the beginning. At least, you know, like I said, you know, people know we talk, you know, every single day about this. We like the Rams. Like the Rams are a team that I don't want to say impossible to hate, but they're kind of like us. They're a team that, there really isn't, outside of OBJ, a player that you can really dislike. I mean, I guess you could say Jalen Ramsey, but the dude.
But why are the Rams hard for most Bengals? Why are the Rams hard to hate for most Bengals people? Because Whitworth plays for them.
And that's what I'm saying too.
And that right there, that there alone makes it hard for us not to root for the Rams. Like I said, the video I sent showed you the other day. I mean, to see Whitworth's wife up in the booth when the Bengals won the game go absolutely berserk. And I mean, she's crying, and then she runs out there on the field, and you know, and she's talking, and she's talking to her dad right there, and she's like, "I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy." And she's crying. It's like, you know, how can you hate a team where they have a player on their team that supports us just as much as he supports his own team?
Dude, I legit had a tear in my eye watching that.
So did I. It gives me chills. I mean, I've watched the videos a few other times since then. It just gives me chills. It's like, you know, that's what it's all about right there. So. The Rams are hard. I mean, the Rams are a good team.
They're a great team.
They could very easily go out and win this game on Sunday, just as well as the Bengals go out and win the game. So, and if the Rams win, good on them.
Oh, exactly. Because here's the thing: whoever wins this game is going to flat out deserve it. Because again, this is a game to where both teams match up very well against each other. I really truly believe that. Both coaches, you know, are familiar with each other. Really good friends. I love Sean McVay. Always have. I think. You know, and a lot of the teams, the big run on coaches was, oh, everyone now has to try and go out and get the next Sean McVay. Well, no kidding, because Sean McVay's a great coach. And, you know, and so, yeah, you're naturally going to want to get a new coach or get a coach that's as good as Sean McVay, who, you know, you've seen what he's done so far. He's taken the Rams to the Super Bowl twice, once with Jared Goff and now with Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's a great quarterback. Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in the NFL. They've got OBJ. You know, defensively, Jalen Ramsey is the best cover corner in the league. Aaron Donald might be the very best player in football right now. Aaron Donald is, I mean, he's unbelievable.
Aaron Donald's a Hall of Famer.
Everybody.
Andrew Wiggins, Hall of Famer. I mean, they have Hall of Famers on both their sides. I mean, Jalen Ramsey this year was ranked as the second best cover corner in the NFL. The only person he ranked behind was AJ Terrell. AJ Terrell was one. He was two, and three was Chitty, who was actually on our team. So I mean, it's pretty amazing that we have two of the best cover corners in the NFL in this game. I mean, do I think we have an advantage cornerback wise? I do think that we do because I think our wide receivers. Yes, Ramsey's going to cover. Jamar Chase for a good portion of the game, yes. After Ramsey, though, their corners aren't that good. They're good, but they're not as good as our secondary corners. Whereas we have Chitty, we have Hilton, we have Mike, we have Eli Apple, we also have Trey Waynes, and then we also have a few other guys. We have Trey Flowers and we have Vernon Hargraves. We have good name cornerbacks. One spot I think we do have an advantage.
Well, you know what? Let's look at that here. Let's kind of break this down a little bit as we go into, you know, each side of the football. Quarterback, Matthew Stafford this year, chucked the ball around 601 times, completed 404 passes. He had 41 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 102.9, and he threw for 4,886. That was third overall in football behind Tom Brady and Justin Herbert.
Did he play every game?
So
just want to make sure he didn't have any injuries during the year.
I don't think he did. I'm trying to look here and see if it says it.
I think he played all 17 games.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Okay.
Joe Burrow threw for 4,611 yards. That is good for sixth overall in the NFL. He chucked it around 520 times and completed 366, 34 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 108.3.
And he didn't play the last game of the year.
Exactly. So, and let's be real. At this point in time, when you look at quarterback, the quarterback matchup, who would you rather have? Matt Stafford or Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
Exactly. Same here. That's the advantage.
It's not even close. I mean, people might want to make it close. It's not even close. And even the guys, like I said, everything I listen to, I mean, that is one position where this is not even close.
Yeah, and that's –
And that's no slight on Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford's a phenomenal quarterback. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks that's been drafted over the past 15 years. He's good. He's a phenomenal quarterback, but he's not, like everyone says, he doesn't have the same demeanor as Burrow. So, I mean, this is not that's not even a close comparison.
Exactly. Bingo. And, I mean, the way Joe Burrow's playing right now, I'm sorry. Joe Burrow's where it's at. Now, and looking at the running back position. You've got Joe Mixon for the Bengals. He's rushed for 1,205 yards this year. That's 606 yards behind Jonathan Taylor, who rushed it for 40, or who had 40 more rushes than Joe Mixon this season. Joe Mixon rushed for 292 times, and he averaged, let's see. Well, you know what? Just kidding. My screen just
Mixon missed a couple games too.
Yeah, he did. And again, rushed for 1,205 yards.
Yeah.
13 touchdowns. So right there is, you know, and if you look at the Rams, and let me try.
They're a committee.
They are.
They're a committee.
Exactly. So if you look at the standout there, who are you going to go with? You're going to go with
Daryl Henderson, Mixon. Cam Akers, and who's got the – oh, and Sony Michel.
And Sony Michel rushed for 845 yards. But Cam Akers is their – he's their number one guy. Now, Cam
At the Akers, beginning of the season, actually was Daryl Henderson. He was their number one.
Exactly. And then it shifted to
it shifted all season for the simple fact that nobody could stay healthy. I mean, Daryl Henderson went down, Cam Akers went down, and then Sony Michel was actually traded for Sony Michel. So I mean, exactly. they were a team of attrition where they had to bring another running back. So they actually have a committee right now.
Exactly, and I mean, but again, so you know, Sony Michel, he got the job done. He's on the leaderboard, but you know, in all reality. You know, it's Cam Akers, and he's the guy that, you know, he's their main threat in terms of the rushing game. You look at receivers, which, you know, if you look at
this is close.
Is it though? Because you've got the Bengals top three. Now again, Cooper Kupp and Jamar Chase.
Triple crown winner.
Here's the thing. Cooper Kupp, best receiver in football, flat out. And he's proven that all year. I mean, let's be real. The dude is unbelievable.
And he's which is remarkable. He's a slot receiver, too.
The dude just makes guys miss. He hauled in 145 receptions for 1,947 yards. So, you know, that's tops overall. Again, that's pretty good right there. But, you know, I'm going to say between him and Jamar Chase are going to cancel each other out as the number ones.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And then
OBJ and
T.
Yes, thank you. I'm starting to get brain fog here. They're going to cancel each other out as number twos. Although I would give the edge to – I give the edge to T. Higgins on that one.
Just slightly, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Slightly. So you've got the edge on one, and you've got the edge on two. Edge on the top.
And the last one's not even close. Tyler Boyd is much better than Van Jefferson.
Exactly. So as great as the receivers are for the Rams, two out of three, I'm going to give the advantage to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Absolutely.
So – I'm going to say offensively so far in the skill, three skill positions, I'm going to give the Bengals the advantage. Tight ends now. CJ Uzomah, sounds like he's going to be playing. He says he's not going to miss. Look at Higbee on the other side for the Rams. Ooh, it's not looking good for him. And and that's a shame.
Higbee's not going to play. But if Higbee was going to play, I would give the advantage to the Rams because I think Higbee is slightly better than Uzomah, but considering Higbee's probably not going to play, I think the advantage, especially if Uzomah plays, which he says he's going to. In fact, he said if we win, he's going to bathe in
Skyline Chili. We'll see
how that works out. But I mean, if he ends up playing, we have the advantage because pretty much they've pretty much ruled out Higbee.
Yeah, and that's it again. I hate that biggest game of your career. Gosh, man. I would love to see him play. Every player deserves to play in it if you make it there. It's a shame. So it sucks for him. I feel awful for him. But
so advantage Bengals.
Exactly. I'm going to say the Bengals there. Offensive lines.
We don't even need to talk about this. You don't even need to talk about this.
No,
Let's be honest
we're
here. Let's be honest. So the Bengals are not, let's be honest, we're not very good in that. We're not very good there. I mean, yes, I mean their scores
you're
are okay,
correct.
but I mean the Rams have Haverstein, they have Whitworth, they have a good offensive line. So advantage Rams.
You are correct on that one. We're just going to let that go
We're
as
not
is.
even going to talk about that because we know this is a whole known issue about the whole NFL. That's where everybody talks. That's the first thing every announcer, every broadcast, every radio show. That's the first thing. Well, the Bengals offensive line is horrible. So
Yeah, but
it's not even a conversation that needs to be brought up because we all know it. They're not good. It's got to be improved. We'll move on forward. So now let's move to the defense side of the football.
there we go. And that advantage is the Rams. If you've got a line that's going to consist of you win, hands down. But again, I'm going to say it's a slight advantage for the Rams because I'd say what the Bengals defensive line is pretty damn good.
I was just gonna say
So
because I mean their defensive
it's.
line, yeah, like you said, it has Aaron Donald, which obviously this gives everybody, it gives them a tick better. But I mean, DJ Reader's no slouch. He's a great
Oh,
tackle on
God,
the defense.
no.
I mean, it's a lot closer than people think it is. Our defensive line is just as good as theirs. I mean, it's just that people think, oh, well, they show, you put these two names in front of two teams, you know, the average listener, everyone hears that name, Aaron Donald. Well, he's a beast. So it's easy for them to choose them. It, you know, honestly,
Exactly.
it's close. It really is. But I mean, I agree with you. I would give the advantage to the Rams.
Linebackers. Who are you going to go with?
They have Von Miller. We have Logan Wilson. After that, I mean, it's pretty even. I mean, I would actually, as much as, and I'm saying that, and I'm not saying this to berate freaking Von Miller. I would actually call the our two linebackers actually, I would actually call that even. Honestly, I wouldn't give the advantage to either team on that one.
I'd be fine with that. I would agree.
Because I mean,
But
we're looking we're, now because we're not looking at this as a whole for a career. If we were looking at this over a career, yes, I would say, yeah, okay, Rams, okay, because Von Miller's career has been amazing. We're looking at it this season. Logan Wilson's had a phenomenal season. Jermaine Pratt's been amazing this season. So I mean, overall,
exactly.
I would call it a
Yep.
push.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I'd call it a
Yeah.
push.
I mean, I think overall depth-wise, in totality, I would say the Bengals may be a slightly better. And that, I mean, but if it's, I mean, it would only be slightly though, if I'm going to
Yeah,
give the Bengals the
but just barely.
advantage.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I would call it a push.
But you got Von Miller, and let's be real, Von Miller's Von Miller,
Dude,
you know, so.
Von Miller's a beast. He's phenomenal. He's a Hall of Famer.
Every bit. Secondary.
Oh, this is
I
now
mean,
this is where it's this is where it gets interesting because yes,
you've
they
got
have
Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey's better than any corner we have. Yes, but after him, it's not very good. I would say corner. Now, listen, before we get to safeties, I would say cornerback wise, I think advantage goes to us just slightly because just because you have Jalen Ramsey doesn't make you that much better. Like I said, because ranking wise, he's two, we have three, and then our other corners are better. So I would say,
I'd have
honestly,
to.
I think our advantage
Total
is not.
depth, yeah. Just the way our depth is played in terms of, you know, you got guys like Eli Apple, who in some games, like I said, who's been unfairly shit on this season so far. In my opinion, I think Eli's played great when he's had to. And without Eli Apple, are we in this position?
No, we're not even in the Super Bowl right now.
Exactly. So, you know. I'll take Eli Apple. And I saw a couple people picking on Eli about, oh, yeah, I want to see him go up against some of the Rams receivers. Okay, me too. I'm fine with that. Good. Because I'll take Eli Apple, I'll take Mike Hilton and Chitty all day long. All day long over secondary. Again, but you got Jalen Ramsey, who Jalen Ramsey is flat out unbelievable. The dude is, he's good. I mean, he's flat out good. So. You know, with that being the case, I mean, you give them the advantage in terms of one corner, but in the whole, I guess the whole secondary, well, in the whole secondary in terms of
Who are
the
their
corners,
who are their two safeties?
Eric Weddle and, oh, shoot, let me pull it up here real quick. Hold on a second. There's a little slow on me here. Let's see.
I totally forgot if Weddle came out of retirement.
Yeah. And I mean, I like Weddle, but I'm not going to.
What hurts is their best safety actually. Their best safety actually is actually gone. He actually plays for the Browns now. Actually, he left last year. Amazingly enough, they're that he's gone now. But I mean, that's why Weddle had to come out of retirement because they needed someone to fill in because they didn't have nobody else anymore. But their best safety actually plays for the Browns now. That's what hurts.
Let's see, Weddle. They got Taylor Rapp. Let me see here.
So yeah, so basically, I mean, there's nobody big. I mean, we have Von Bell and we have Jesse Bates, who's probably one of the best safeties in football. I say we have
Jordan
the advantage
Fuller.
There. We have the advantage there easily.
Nick Scott, Jordan Fuller, Sherrod Neeson.
Oh yeah, we got the advantage. We have the advantage safety too. We have the advantage at corner. We have the advantage of safety. So we have the advantage there.
I mean, that's, you know.
In fact, ESPN thinks that Eric Weddle will actually be a liability for the Rams in that game.
I think so too.
In this game, he's going to be forced coming down to the box and be forced to tackle, where he hasn't been forced to do that in any game he's played yet, and that's one area he actually struggles in. So, I definitely think we have the advantage of this time, especially when it comes to safeties and corners. So, I mean. Right now, I mean, offensive-wise, for the most part, we have the advantage except for offensive line. Defense-wise, we have the advantage except for defensive line. But it's close, I mean, right now. And, I mean, now you go to special teams, kickers. Ooh, kickers. Their kicker's really good, too.
I know.
But, I mean, and both have been kicking lights out during the playoffs. I would call kickers a push.
I was going to say, I would go push as well.
And punters, Kevin Huber versus who's their punter?
Let me get there again. I just had it up. Oh, man, my computer's picking a bad time to work slow on me here. Let me get back to it.
They used to have Leckler for years. I can't think of who it is now, though.
It is. Hold on a second here. Dang it. Come on. This is great radio. Oh, come on. And it makes me mad that I didn't have this prepared.
But I mean, whoever
Johnny Hecker.
There you go. That's who it is. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Hecker, out of Oregon State.
Okay, Johnny
he's
Hecker
been around the league 10 years.
Johnny Hecker and Kevin Huber. That's another push. I think special teams is the push overall. Now, we can go to the last division of it. We can go to coaching, and this is where I think the Rams have a big advantage. I personally think that. Coaching staff-wise, I think the Rams are not just a little bit better. They're better. This is where they had the advantage. Coaching, I think they had the advantage.
Agreed.
I mean, I think the Rams are an A. I think we're a B. So I think this is one area where they definitely do have an advantage.
Completely agree. So I got a couple talking points here that were sent to me earlier. He goes, interested your guys' thoughts on the adjustments made from Tennessee and Kansas City regarding protection for Burrow and if it'll work on the Rams. He goes, we had max protection against Kansas City. So with that being the case, what are your thoughts on those adjustments we made?
I mean, it's a week to week basis. I mean, let's be honest here. I think that the protection they went to in the Kansas City game, especially in the second half, I think we'll look to that a little bit because we didn't make that many adjustments in the Titans games because I was he was getting sacked as much as in the second half as he was in the first. But in regards to the Kansas City Chiefs game, we definitely did change out the protections quite a bit in the second half there, where we would basically put a little more focus on Chris Jones, which I think they're going to do quite a bit of that in this game. I think they're going to definitely put their focus and definitely because it's going to be a five-man front versus a four-man front, and we're definitely going to roll the second man obviously to Aaron Donald as much as we can, and everybody else is going to go one-on-one. But there wasn't that many. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I didn't see many adjustments in the Titans game.
The adjustments I would say is the Bengals did a much better job of getting the ball out of Burrow's hand quicker. And,
oh, absolutely.
And I mean, because here's the thing. Tennessee, when you look at the fronts, the Tennessee game, again, people are going to say, oh, he was sacked 9 times. And I saw Nick Suberling, Subes, you know, he tweeted it out. He's like, is anyone else sick and tired of hearing about Burrow being sacked 9 times? It's ridiculous hearing about it now. My God, it happened. The Bengals only gave up 1 sack against Kansas City. So
absolutely. I mean, there's a difference between all these defensive lines. Okay. Kansas City has bigger guys. They have Chris Jones. He's a big guy. You know what I mean? They have Frank Clark. He's a larger guy. They have Ingram, who's a bigger guy. Whereas the Titans have, they had Simmons. They had all the other guys. And those are quick guys. Their defensive line is totally different. Whereas now you're going, you're going up now this week against the Rams, where you have a little bit of both. You have a bigger guy with Aaron Donald, and you've got a quick guy in Von Miller. So it's a little bit different of a player. You know what I mean?
And the scary part about that is I was listening to the radio today. They were talking about it. So when you're looking at the way the Rams are, you're going to see Von Miller being 5 yards outside of the tackle. You know what I'm saying? And making that run in, you know, have a head start. So with that being the case, the Bengals are going to have to utilize the screen game and draw plays and everything like that. That's how you attack a pass rush, via absolutely screen game and draw plays. That has to happen.
And so, that's one area we actually excel in. So that actually helps us out to a huge key.
We're the best screen team in football. Like, let's be real, because of the way the Bengals are able to run the screen game, puts them in any position, you know, in a great position to win a football game, despite facing the pressure. The one thing about the pressure, Joe Burrow does a great job of taking a smart sack. He doesn't freak out and throw the ball and throw it into an interception. He knows when to take the sack and say, all right, let's, you know, take the sack here, live another day. He does a great job of that. With that being the case.
He did that versus Tennessee. And I think in Kansas City, he didn't want to take the sacks as much. So he did start throwing it away a little bit more. Whereas in Tennessee, he was just taking the ball and he was just, you know, taking the hit and going to the ground. Whereas in Kansas City, he was learning that he needs to, you know, maybe I should just throw it away here, you know, versus taking the sack. So, I mean, he definitely learned his lessons from the first game. And I'm sure he'll be a similar type of quarterback in this game against the Rams, because I think the Rams are closer of a defensive line to Kansas City than they are to Tennessee.
Oh, you think so? I'm going to go. They're more like Tennessee.
They have a few bigger guys. I mean, they have Floyd. I can't think of the other guy who's next to Donald offhand, but he's another bigger guy. So I mean, those guys are a little bit bigger. Yeah, they have the quicker guys on the linebacker spots, but I mean, overall, I think the defensive line wise, I think they're similar to Kansas City versus the Rams, because the Rams is a fat. I mean, not the Rams. The Rams are similar to the Kansas City versus the Titans, because the Titans are, their defensive line is all fast, quick guys that are off the ball.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. It's a good point. Good point. And a couple other talking points real quick before we wrap it up. Is Uzama's knee injury going to hinder his ability to block / protect on the line? If we have if we have five on the line with the tight end and with Mixon and Pirine back in the backfield, is that enough to protect, and will that be enough? I mean, if you have to have that, you have to have, I think, five or six in there to help block, basically to help out the line. Let's be real.
This is where I miss Giovanni Bernard.
Oh my gosh, dude, that dude was a stud blocking.
He was one of the best blocking running backs in the NFL. He was amazing, and I don't care who he was going up against, if it was a defensive tackle, or if it was a defensive end, or if it was a linebacker, he would stop those guys in their tracks. And it's a very slight thing to miss, but it's huge right now, just because he was so dynamic at it. And I'm not saying, you know, Mixon's good and P. Ryan's a good blocker, but neither one of them guys are in the same class when it comes to blocking as Giovanni Bernard was.
Exactly. Giovanni was
sorely missed in that retrospect.
Exactly.
But I mean, I think the coaches will be smart. I want to get back to the whole CJ Uzama thing. I think the coaches will be smart. They're going to see how he practices tomorrow. They're going to want to have a game plan by Saturday. They're going to see where he's at tomorrow. And personally, I don't think CJ's going to play on Sunday. I really don't. I think the coaches will make the right call and not let him play, because I think he'd be more of a hindrance. Because like I said, there's no way he's going to be 100% by Sunday. I mean, he has the same exact injury as Higbee does. And there's and basically the Rams coaching staff said no way, no how. So I mean, I think our coaching staff will be smart with him. I mean, it's a long career. He's gonna be playing for a while longer, but I understand why he wants to play, but sometimes you have to look at, you know, the long term versus the short term.
That I agree with, but I do think he plays. I don't think he's gonna play a lot, but it doesn't sound like his MCL sprain was as bad as Higbee's is in terms of grade wise. So if that's the case, he might be okay to play.
Oh, absolutely. And if he can play, good for him, because I'll tell you one thing. I mean, anytime he was on the field and Burrow targeted him, he completed 80% of his passes, which is the highest to any tight end in the NFL outside of Travis Kelce.
You know, that there you go.
It's amazing. We could use him on passing downs where he's not as blocking as much, because I think the MCL will definitely affect him in blocking, but this is why we drafted Drew Sample, dude.
Bingo.
He's a blocking tight end for a reason.
He's our second round pick for a reason. That dude.
He's our second round tight end who blocks. That's what we drafted him for.
Got that right. All righty. So we got a couple more here. Just like I said, two more. Okay. We all know Ramsey is good. But what else, if anyone, do they have back there to help with Chase, Higgins, and Boyd? Now, let's be real. We know Ramsey's going to be on Jamar Chase. Now, Jamar Chase is going to get his. Let's be real. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Ramsey's going to do a good job on him, but it would not surprise me if Chase gets, we'll say, 80 yards on six passes or whatever. He's going to get his. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of the other guys can do. That's where it comes down to. Do the Rams have it in their back end to help take out Higgins and Tyler Boyd and CJ Uzomah if he plays?
Oof. I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think so either. And that's where, if the Bengals are able to take advantage of the Rams being overly aggressive on the pass rush, and you force them, and with the screen plays and the draw plays and stuff like that, and force them to kind of reduce—I don't want to say reduce it—you know—in terms of the pass rush. But let's be real: we know you give Joe Burrow time to throw it, he's going to pick you apart. So another thing that the Bengals have done a great job of is getting Joe Burrow out of the pocket, and some of it's by design, some of it's on his own to where he gets out, but he's made some huge plays being outside of the pocket and making throws on the run to Chase, Higgins, and Boyd. That's going to happen in this game here. So if the Rams get that pressure on Joe Burrow and he's able to break the pocket, break containment, for those guys to step up big, because a corner like Jalen Ramsey can only cover a guy for so long before that coverage breaks down. It happens. It happens to the best of them. It is what it is. That's no slight on Jalen Ramsey. Hell, that happens to Deion Sanders in his prime. It just happens. That's part of it. So, those guys – again, it all comes down to the way if the Bengals are able to get, if they're able to slow down that pass rush, again, by design, in terms of either play calling or just the way they scheme it, look for those other two, Higgins and Boyd, to step up big and have a huge game. Because, like we talked about, we just don't think that they have enough to take those two guys out.
And the one thing, we're talking about, Ramsey and stuff like that. And the one thing people got to realize about on the other side of the football is that you have Cooper Kupp, and he's going to be the slot receiver. He's going to go up against Mike Hillen. If people want to look at the last time these two guys went against each other, it was in 2019. So it's not that long ago. It's a couple years ago when Hillen covered him one-on-one during the game. Cooper with Cup was targeted four times. He had no catches. He had no yards against Mike Hillen.
Well,
Mike Hillen,
my God, I'll take that again.
Mike Hillen's an X factor in this game. If Mike Hillen comes to play, which I think he's going to, because he's a former Steeler, and Steelers know how to play when in the big games. Let's be honest here. They know how to play in the big games, and I think Mike Hillen will come to play. And if he can, I mean, I don't expect him to shut him down the whole game, because it's been a couple years since then now, and Cooper Kupp's a little better obviously since then. I really do expect Mike Hillen to hold him up, just to the point where he struggles a little bit. So I mean, I think he has the advantage. I mean, but this is a really, really close matchup. It really is.
I would have to agree with you on
just,
that.
Just like you said, eventually Ja'Marr Chase is going to get his. Eventually Cooper Kupp's going to get his.
And that's the thing. And then, and that's what drives me nuts. Everyone talks about Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's going to get his too. Aaron Donald is too good of a football player to not be, to be shut down. And it looks like T.J. Watt literally just won AP Player of the Year.
Yeah, I just happen to see the same thing.
Wow. Okay. I mean, he's good, but good on him. Congrats to T.J. Watt. I mean, he's the dude's stud. And it's cool. J.J.'s giving him the award. That's a cool thing.
Absolutely.
That's, hey, you got to love the brotherly love there. And that's a proud moment right there. I love it. That's cool. And last talking point here real quick is, better coaching advantage. McVay and Taylor, seeing Taylor, he never had to show all of his cards as an assistant. And that's a great point. I never thought of that. And he knows how McVay works. You give any sort of advantage to Zach Taylor in that situation up against Sean McVay? Or no, because everything's on tape. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I'm gonna say it's no advantage for Zach Taylor in that situation, because, yeah, you're familiar with the guy, but I mean, it's everything's on film nowadays. I'm not gonna put much credence into that. I mean, McVay's got the experience to where Zach Taylor doesn't. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, he's been gone for 3 years now, and he's developed his own niche. I mean, has he learned a lot from McVay? Yes. And in 3 years, McVay's learned his own thing. But I still think, obviously, like you were saying, I think just the years of there's just a few years of advantages, and this few years there with McVay, and I think obviously they know each other pretty well, but a lot has changed over these past few years. Obviously, playbooks change, times change. So, I mean, I still think McVay has the advantage. But I mean, as long as Zach is not in this game, because he can't be, we can't be methodical, we can't be slow moving. I mean, we can't afford to fall behind in this game. We really can't. It's a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I like their advantage. I think they have the advantage. But I think Zach's going to come to play. I really do. I think he's going to pull out all the stops in this game.
I mean, you have to. I mean, it's a Super Bowl. So you don't know if you're ever going to get back there. And, and here's the thing with this. Again, like you said, we can't afford to come from behind in this kind of game.
No.
And what have we said before? There are only a handful of teams that can keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs offensively. Us? The Rams have a wicked offense. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are going to put up points. The Bengals are going to put up points.
Oh, absolutely. You just can't afford. They're going to put up points. We're going to put up points.
Exactly. So, but you can't get yourself too far behind, because the Rams have a better defense than the Kansas City Chiefs do.
Oh, so, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you get down by 18 or even 21 or even 17 or anything like that, you're probably not going to post a comeback like you did against Kansas City. But
on the other hand, yeah, the Rams defense might be better than the Chiefs. Yes, I say that. But on the other hand, do the Rams have The cheetah? No, they don't have the cheetah. They don't have Travis Kelce, not even close. I mean, and do the Rams have Patrick Mahomes? No, they don't, not even close. So, I mean, do I think the Rams have a better offense than Kansas City? Hell no, not even close. I think Kansas City's much better overall. I mean, Patrick Mahomes alone makes that bells above the Rams because he's that much better. He's that much better than Matt Stafford. And we managed to hold him twice. Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL, because let's be honest, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. We held that quarterback and his team to 3 points in the second half twice in two different games. So, I mean, I think we'll be prepared for the Rams and Matt Stafford and whatever they throw at us. I think, you know, and Andy Reid is a genius in when it comes to offense. He's been doing this for 20 years. I mean, no, that's no offense to Sean McVay, but he has seen everything. He could throw all of McVay. There's still thing McVay doesn't know yet either. But I mean, Andy Reid's seen everything. He knows everything. And we've been able to handle them twice. So I do like our chances a lot. And one last touch. I just want to go over one thing before you finish up with your last point, too. Yeah. Before everyone gets up in arms about Aaron Donald, I think he's amazing. He had 12 and a half sacks this season outside the playoffs. Let's be honest, Trey had more sacks than that. And there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Seven games where he had no sacks in the games. None. Zero. His 12 and a half sacks looked pretty good, but he had one game where he had three sacks, and that was against the Cardinals on December 13th. So if you take that game away after 17 games, essentially he only had 9.5 sacks through 16 games. So, I mean, is that all good right? Still? Yes. is that good? Yes, it's still good. I mean, that's still one of the best in the NFL, but it's not like he was – throwing guys around like it was no tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's not like he's Micah Parsons. You know what I mean? But
no, you're right.
He can be stopped. I mean, yeah. One of the games he had no sacks against was against the Colts. Yeah, the Colts have Quentin Nelson. I totally understand that. Quentin Nelson's a beast. He's, you know, one of the best guards in football. another game where he had no sacks, he had against the 49ers. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. He against the Packers, another very good offensive line. Then another game he was against the 49ers again. He had no sacks. And then the other game he had another no sacks. Another game against the 49ers. They should be looking at the 49ers footage because the 49ers stopped him three different times.
I mean, there we go. I'll take that, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, 12 and a half sacks looks great. I mean, but like I said, if you take the one outlier game of that three sacks, I mean, it's 9.5 sacks in a season. I mean, that's pretty much average NFL stats.
You know, there you go.
But everybody loves him because of his name, and that's all it comes. That's what it comes down to me is that I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's great. But I also think he's been in the NFL for 10 years. He's not the same guy he was 5, 6 years ago. He's still a dominant force, but he's not the same guy he was at one point. He's not a guy who's going to wreak havoc. You know what I mean? And you know, go out there and you know, dominate for 4 sacks. No, I mean we're going to roll our attention to him. We'll be aware of where he's at, and we'll manage. We really will. I mean, Quentin Spain's going to be a guy on him a lot, and I think Quentin Spain will be just fine.
All right, prediction-wise, what are you saying prediction for this game?
Well, yeah, I've said it once, and I still haven't talked myself out of it yet. Unfortunately, maybe I'll change my mind by Sunday, but as of right now, I think the Rams do win this game just because, like I said, the coaching is a big difference. I think the Rams are at the point where they've been here before. We haven't. I think this is a game where it's going to be 31-30. I think Rams win.
Okay. Okay, and I get it, and I'm going Bengals. I felt confident all the way through. The only game that I've predicted the Bengals to lose was the Kansas City game. Mm-hmm. But as that kind of – I mean, I still did predict them to lose on that Sunday morning, but I felt better about the game. But this one I'm feeling relatively confident. Again, I think the fact that the Bengals relish that, you know, that underdog role – I think the majority of the pressure is on the Rams because, again, the Rams mortgage their future in the Super Bowl. They're at home.
They're in for everything.
Exactly.
They're in. Mm-hmm.
So that pressure is on them. And Mo Egger said it best yesterday. I heard him on the radio when he got out to LA. He was on 700 WLW, and he goes, "This is," and I even tweeted it out and said it. You know, Mo was like, "This is the Bengals' chance to steal a championship before our championship window opens." That is about as spot on as you're going to get.
I agree.
When it comes to the way this, you know, the way this is explained.
Absolutely, I agree.
I think they get it done. I'm going to stick with my original prediction that I told you earlier in the week. I say Bengals 27-23. Now,
okay.
You know, this is going to be I think this is going to be one of the best Super Bowls that we've seen over the last couple years. It's going to be a lot of fun. Two great football teams. And two teams, again, that, you know, that are hard to root against, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I mean, it's and I wouldn't be I would be still saying that even if I wasn't a Bengals fan. I would still say that about the Rams because I think that they've got a lot of guys on that team that you cannot help but like. So, you know, with that being the case, you know, this is going to be a fun, you know, it's going to be a fun Super Bowl. I really, truly believe that. I think our Bengals, I think they do get it done. And they snap that drought for, you know, for Cincinnati in terms of championships. It's, you know, regardless of what happens, what a time to be a Bengals fan. This is so much fun. And I can't thank, you know, the Bengals and the fan base. I can't thank them all enough because this has been a blast of a season. We have had so much fun this year. Even with some of the ups and downs, it's still been a great season. And it's awesome that, you know, that our Bengals are on the national stage. They're, you know,
I agree. 100%.
It's Super Bowl Sunday, man, and we're watching our team play. So
100%, I agree with you there. Like I said, and I mean, just remember last week I picked Kansas City to win all week long until Sunday morning when I talked to you, and I was like, you know what? I changed my mind. I picked the Bengals Sunday morning. So, I mean, I still have a lot of listening to do and everything like that. But right now, I'm sticking with my original choice. I'm going to stick with the Rams as of right now. But I mean, a lot could change between now and Sunday for me.
And this is a game, honestly, that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the Rams win. Like, that's how I think this is a very evenly matched football game. I just think that the Bengals, I think they have a lot more than what the Rams do in terms of just the way they've been playing. The Bengals have been playing great football. Aside from, I mean, yeah, the offensive line play, the offense has been fantastic. So I think that carries over. But, you know, regardless of how it goes Sunday night, breaking down the Super Bowl. Hopefully
we made the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Either way.
We did, man. And hopefully we'll be talking about a Super Bowl win you know, next week, like we have been last couple.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be back next week. We talked about the Super Bowl and then obviously we'll, you know, just start touching on the off season and just about, you know, where we go from here and the next steps. Whether it be an off season as Super Bowl champion or an off season as, you know, a runner up.
Hey, either way, still a lot of fun. So with that being the case, we're going to wrap up the show again. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in all season. It's been, you know, it's been an honor to continue to do this show and, you know, and get our thoughts out there each year, so, or each game, I should say. So, again, thank you guys so much. Make sure you follow us online at www.iscincy.com and make sure you follow us on Twitter at @IamChrisAsbrock. And at @IsCincy, you can follow Nick at @CincyZZ. And as always, for all of your fitness needs, make sure you check out fnxfit.com. That is fnxfit.com. And you can use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off. That is promo code BDiesel for 15% off of your purchase. And again, Nick, thank you so much, my man, for joining me here again tonight. And we will be back to discuss the Super Bowl between the Los Angeles Rams and our beloved Cincinnati Bengals. And hopefully we will be discussing a Super Bowl victory for our Bengals. So, Nick, my man, thank you so much
Thanks, Chris.
For joining me again. And hoo day, baby. And we'll talk to you later on, buddy.
Hoo day.